They had come together. They asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Good morning, Historic Community Church. There's going to be a pause from Pastor Jim's preaching with regards to Revelation, and we're going to go over the ascension of Christ this morning. So before I continue, please join your hearts with me in prayer. Dear Father, we remember on this day the ascension of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for guidance and encouragement from your word this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this morning our passage is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And this passage describes to us the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Luke, the author of Acts, and the Gospel of Luke is writing to a man named Theophilus, the most excellent Theophilus. And this person was probably a Gentile, probably a Roman official, and his name means beloved by God or friend of God. Now, Luke tells us in his gospel that he wrote it to provide Theophilus with an orderly account so that Theophilus would have certainty concerning the things he had been taught. Acts is a continuation of Luke's narrative of his gospel. And the most excellent Theophilus was probably not around to have a firsthand eyewitness account of Jesus and his teachings or his work. And he probably was not around to sit and hear Jesus, his teachings. He probably didn't see the feeding of the multitudes, nor see Jesus walking on the water. And all we can see is that Luke took the time, he took the time to write to this man about the life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus, and his continuing work through the early church. Now, for us today, we had the privilege to welcome members and to see welcome Frank and Temi, and to see Temi get baptized. Now, for us today, we who are so far removed from the first century, there might be this yearning, and this yearning to see Jesus in person. And you know, we hope that you may have felt it too, or like just a hope that he would come right in, walk, enter through those doors right off a crescent, and just to sit right next to you and to say to you in person that you're going to make it through this. You're going to make it through that cancer, or maybe to teach you about the rest of Revelation, or simply to give you a hug and to provide reassurance that this Christian faith, that this faith is real, and that God has everything under control. It is for these reasons that Luke is writing to Theophilus. And so, also in that way, Luke is writing to us today. Now, briefly, I want to say that when I was a new Christian, when I became a member and was baptized, I was brought into a reformed church just like ACC. And my biological family was not Christian, and I did not have the Sunday school stories in my memory, like the Doyles. And I couldn't tell the difference between the Old and New Testaments. And even at one point, I only had a New Testament with the Psalms. I didn't know there was an Old Testament because that was all they handed out on campus. And because that was all I knew, I, as a new believer, I didn't know the lingo. I didn't know the Christianese. I didn't understand the worship. I didn't understand these songs and praise and all those things. And as a new member, in many ways, I could identify with Theophilus. It took the church community to raise me. And one person, they shared with me that this is very important insight from this one person, that we are not the first ones to read and interpret scripture. And so I took to understanding the Reformed confessions and the creeds of the church and with my new faith family. And these Reformed documents, the crystallization of our beliefs based upon scripture, they were written by Christian witnesses during chaotic times. And these were written to give voice to what the historic church believed based upon scripture. Now, the role of Jesus Christ, from these documents, the role of Jesus Christ came out as prophet, priest, and king. And this stuck with me as I came to understand this new faith, coming into this new faith family. And this is all because of God's work. And so as we go through this passage, I want to highlight three items for you. Jesus as the ascended prophet, Jesus as the ascended priest, and Jesus as the ascended king. Now, firstly, Jesus as the ascended prophet. Throughout the Old Testament, prophets were those individuals from different backgrounds that delivered God's message to the people. God is conveying a message to the people, and this is the main role of the prophet. Right? Now, the message, it may have been such messages as to call out idolatry, ways that were contrary to God's will, to convey God's will, to turn away from sin, or even messages to remain faithful. Now, in Acts 1, Luke is recalling what Jesus had done. Jesus spent time with the disciples after his resurrection and before his ascension. And for 40 days, Jesus took them to seminary, going over the messages of God about the kingdom of God. Jesus is present in person, presenting himself. This is no Casper the Friendly Ghost, right? This is Jesus, and he is in person, eating and being physically present with his followers. And Jesus is revealing. He is revealing the will of God to his followers. And everything that God the Father showed Jesus, he is revealing to his followers. Now, in this past Friday youth group, this past Friday, George, he went over John 15 with the youth, and in verse 15, Jesus tells his followers, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus reveals the means of salvation, how we are to rightly relate to God, and how we are to truly live. Right? Jesus orders the followers to stay in Jerusalem and to wait. Now remember, for them it must have been a scary time. Jesus was just executed in the city by a kangaroo court. The rulers who unjustly ordered his execution, they are still in power. The followers, they might be thinking, this may be the time for the restoration. You know, take arms, let's get ready, let's go take this city. But, you know, with these things, you know, Jesus is there, so they ask him. Verse 6, to which they ask him that question in verse 6. They ask him about it, and to which Jesus responds, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, when Jesus ascends, the disciples will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is not something new that Jesus told his followers. He went over this a couple of times before. And Jesus, he wouldn't be taking a gap year or simply checking out, saying, "Oh, I'm out. No. He would send the Holy Spirit and that he would not abandon them. Right? He would not leave them alone. And as the early church, they would receive the Holy Spirit to be witnesses confessing the name of Jesus from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And this continues to our day, throughout this world, to proclaim the name of Jesus. The ascended prophet, Jesus, enables us to be prophets, to proclaim his name before others, to proclaim the gospel. Right. Now, that's Christ as the ascended prophet, so let's dig into Christ as the ascended priest. Throughout the Old Testament, priests, they were those individuals who represented the people before God, right? So, you know, we had the prophet bringing a message from God to his people. The priest would be representing the people to God. And they interceded for the people, and they would offer sacrifices for the people of God. Now, this is a little bit foreign to us, or to actually have someone represent us, let alone to intercede for us. That's a little bit strange. It might be foreign to you. But imagine for yourself if you wanted to enter a shishi restaurant, ultra-popular, expensive restaurant, and I was reading one restaurant, the Bank Tavern in Bristol, United Kingdom, where apparently it takes 4 years for a reservation. And whether or not that remains the case now, secretly, honestly, you'd probably want to know someone in that restaurant, inside that restaurant, to know someone like the maitre d' to let you in. And so that you would jump at the chance to tell others, you know, "Hey, I know someone. I know someone there who can represent me in that restaurant. To say that I know someone that could let me in." Or consider if you're on the trial of your life and you know that someone who can represent you before the judge, someone who you could trust and who has your best interest in mind, right? As appealing as those cases are, it brings comfort to know someone. And this is all to say that Jesus, he is our man in heaven. He is the one who provided the perfect sacrifice of his body without sin and redeemed us. And he continually intercedes for us before God the Father in heaven. And in verse 9, Jesus ascends through a cloud to be in heaven, to be the true mediator between God and man by his own blood. Now, if you don't get that part about ascending into heaven, Luke in the passage puts the words "into heaven" four times in the passage, to nail in that emphasis into heaven. Now, why is this so important? Jesus, he prepares a place for us in heaven in the presence of God. For what human hands could ever construct a temple or a tabernacle that could house God? Hebrews 8 tells us that the earthly temple was a copy of heavenly things. Why go to a copy when you can go to the real thing? Jesus is our man in the true holy temple. And Psalm 24 says this, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Jesus is the one who is clean and able to ascend to the mountain of God. He is the perfect priest who represents us in heaven. Now, this is important because we must acknowledge that we do need an advocate. We need to acknowledge that there was no way that we could have been clean before a holy God. We must repent of our sins, those ways where we have violated God's will, those ways where we said, "I will make my own way," and ultimately to acknowledge that we need Jesus as our priest. So in response to Jesus as our ascended priest, we are to be a living sacrifice of thankfulness to God. So what does this look like? One way is not conforming to the world. And as one that likes to encourage other pastors, rewind, play that tape about what Pastor Jim preached last week. Now, the next item. We've gone over Christ as our ascended prophet and priest. Lastly, let's see Christ as our ascended king. In our passage, we see that Jesus is taken up into a cloud. And if you want to read what happens to Jesus after he ascends, you could read Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." Now Daniel, he is describing the ascension of Jesus. And in many ways, as the disciples in Acts, they were seeing Jesus ascending, ascending the escalator from the ground floor. Daniel, from his vantage point, sees Jesus coming up. And Jesus is given dominion as our eternal king, who, according to the Reformed documents to our faith, governs us by his word and spirit, where he defends and preserves us in the redemption he has obtained for us. John Duncan, a Scottish theologian, once said, "The dust of the earth sits on the throne of heaven." And we can recall how Adam was made from the dust of the earth, and throughout the Old Testament, how dust would be sprinkled on one's forehead as a sign of grief. Yet in this instance, Jesus with his body, the ascended king, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, exercising authority and rule, and it is a sign of glory, not a sign of mourning, a sign of glory. And continuing from the Reformed documents, from his authority, he empowers his church to fight with a free and good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and hereafter reign with him eternally over all creatures. Do you know this? It's important that we acknowledge this. And it's interesting that at the end of the passage from Acts, after Jesus has ascended, there are these two men in white robes. I don't know how you would reenact that, but it seems very surreal. These two men in white robes who give a subtle rebuke to the disciples. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. They're saying, don't be idly staring up into heaven waiting for his return. And this too is important. Now, before ACC, before I came to this church, I served in youth and college groups. And I would have folks that I discipled, they would come back from college, and they would be excited. They would be excited about their time in Christian fellowship, in their time in fellowship groups, and they would lament that the church today isn't like the Church of Acts. Now, I appreciated their zeal, and yet what would happen is that they would try to recreate their experience. They would try to recreate their experiences to mimic what they felt in college. Now, they were trying to go back to when they felt the Holy Spirit, as if revival of the heart, that it could be something that can be manufactured. Now, I don't want to discredit his work or what he does, but I want to say that Jesus is King even when you are the only Christian in your workplace, the only Christian in your biological family. Jesus is priest even when you are too depressed or when you feel outside the love of God. Jesus is the prophet even when all you have is the New Testament and the Psalms. Or even when you feel alone in your walk. So that we would, with thankful hearts, continue to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth, consider what this means for you. Perhaps it means to volunteer for VBC at Van Alst Park, for children who have never heard the name of Jesus. And perhaps it means to take the time to read through what God has promised in his word. Most excellent, fill in that blank. Now, put in your name in that blank. Hold to the promises of our ascended Savior. Take the time to welcome and encourage those around you, and even the new members today, as you proclaim Christ's name. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that you are the ascended prophet, priest, and king. Lord, who could ever fathom or imagine just the beauty and just the amazing items of how you have resolved and fulfilled all of the prophecy and history. And Lord, as we gather in this church, I pray that we would not be alone in our Christian walks, that Lord, you are in the heavenly throne room, and that Lord, you have empowered your church to be here, to encourage one another, to be that person that hugs the other person, or even to encourage or to pray, to intercede for others, to proclaim boldly that name that can redeem others. We pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.